of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That portion of God's word we read and considered this morning, the Holy Spirit caused St. Paul to record in the third chapter of his epistle to Titus, as well as St. Luke in the second chapter of his gospel. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The angel did not tell the shepherds how they can make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. Instead, he told them that Christ, their Lord and Savior, has been born for them already that day. He did not tell them that by their decision, good intentions, or works done in righteousness and charity, that they will make Jesus the Lord of their life. Jesus had already made himself their Lord by coming in the flesh in order to bear their sins. It was not their goodwill that saved them, nor was it the peace which they found within themselves that gave them joy. No, it was the goodwill and peace of God, which he shows towards sinful mankind. St. Paul says that when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, he saved us. And so the angel did not give the shepherds a list of rules to follow. He didn't give them a sinner's prayer to pray. Instead, he simply directed them to the sign that God provided for them. He directed them to the same sign that was declared by Isaiah to King Ahaz, the sign of the Emmanuel child, the sign of God with us, the babe lying in a manger. And this is how it is for us today. We are saved by faith, but God doesn't give us some formula on how we are to get that faith. Faith is not our work. It's not a condition that we must first meet before God will offer us salvation. No, instead, God simply reveals to us the object of our faith. He says, here it is. It's right here in the child born in Bethlehem. It's right here, the Son of God being baptized by John in the Jordan River. Here is what your faith clings to. It's right here on the cross, in the empty tomb, in the word declared to you, in your baptism that washes you clean, in the body and blood of the Lord himself given and shed for you. We are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. And this means that God declares us righteous graciously for Christ's sake, and our faith simply clings to it. And again, God doesn't make us look within ourselves to find our faith. Instead, our faith is created by the very object that it clings to. That is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. This is very comforting for us. We know from God's law that we can't look within ourselves for assurance. The natural heart treasures all sorts of worldly things, which pass away with the grass of the field and melts with the snow. Our sinful flesh naturally looks for comfort in our own good deeds, in our own opinions, and in our own lives. But this is no comfort at all. It only leads us to look down on our neighbor. It leads us to be suspicious of everyone else because we want to compare ourselves and see how righteous we really are in order to soothe our conscience. And so this leads to all sorts of other kinds of wickedness like murder, fornication, adultery, and greed. So if we look within ourselves for peace, we won't find any of it. If we look within ourselves for evidence that we are righteous, we might find a few good deeds and a few good intentions, but it is all soiled with sin. Instead, we must look outside of ourselves. The shepherds are a great example for this very reason. They run with haste to see that thing which the Lord had made known to them. They don't sit and talk about themselves, about how they felt when the angels came. We know how they felt. They were terrified. They were afraid because they knew that they were sinners standing in the presence of the holy God. But instead, they held fast to what God graciously revealed to them. The shepherds didn't look within themselves to see if they had faith. They didn't rely on their own dedication of their lives to serve the Lord. Instead, their faith was created by the very words spoken from heaven. And so the shepherds ran to the object of their faith. They ran to Jesus. God creates faith within our hearts. But while faith exists within us, it comes from outside of us. We are justified first by God's grace, which is only then received by faith. So if you want to see the true evidence that you are saved, then don't look within yourself. Because any good that God does work within you only comes from outside of you. It comes from His Word. It comes from the promise of God in your baptism, where you were clothed with Christ and you were made a son and heir of God's kingdom. And this is what St. Paul is teaching when he says that God saved us not by works done by us in righteousness. Even the works that we do as Christians, done in righteousness, which are pleasing to God and serve our neighbor, even these works do not justify us before God. No matter how much virtue that God pours within us, our good works, even with the aiding of the Holy Spirit, are never good enough to make us righteous before God. In fact, our works are only good in the first place because they are done in faith, which alone receives God's gracious promise of forgiveness of sins in Christ. So while God certainly works good desires within us, and we are by the grace of His Holy Spirit renewed day by day as we grow in holiness, the object of our salvation remains outside of us. Our faith clings only to Christ, true God and man, who is the very substance of our salvation. On Christmas, we consider how God was born in the flesh. And we also consider how we are reborn by the washing of the Holy Spirit in our baptism. The Word became flesh, born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we are born through that same Word by that same Holy Spirit. While our new birth happens within us, and God plants faith within us, we do not look within us for our assurance before God. Certainly we have by faith the very testimony of God within us. Just as St. John says, whoever believes has the testimony in him. But this doesn't mean that we look for this testimony within us. It's like saying that because you eat food and you have food within you, that you look within yourself to find food. Well, no, that's ridiculous. We go to the source of our faith for nourishment. If you want to know the testimony that you are in fact reborn, then listen to the testimony of the Son of God who was born for you. With the shepherds, we run to the sign that God gives. It looks humble and meek, like a little baby, helpless infant lying in a manger. Our salvation looks like simple water, simple words spoken by a sinful man, simple bread and wine. But just as that baby was the eternal Son of God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, so is that water combined with the eternal Word of God, giving us new birth and renewal from God's own Spirit of life. Just as that baby was hardly noticed by those in Bethlehem, so do people hardly notice the bread and the wine given for you to eat. But as surely as the flesh and blood of that baby were the very flesh and blood of God, which gives life for all men, so is the bread and wine given to you, the very body and blood of Christ who took away your sins. St. Paul says, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. Having been justified by his grace. This is something that has happened. It is an accomplished reality for you. As surely as that baby in the manger was God himself in the flesh, so is the word that you hear this morning the very appearance of your salvation from God. Yes, if you look within yourself, you will see a lot of sin. That is, if you're honest. If you listen to God's law, which teaches you how to love him and serve your neighbor, and you listen to what God's law actually says about you, then you will find much evidence of your own unworthiness to stand before him. But what about Jesus? Jesus is the fulfillment of God's law. He is the very appearance of God's loving kindness. You find evidence within your dying flesh that you are dust and ashes and that you with Adam have been separated from God. But what about the baby in the manger? There is God and man perfectly united in one person. There is the eternal majesty of God joined forever to our own flesh and blood. There God declares mortal men righteous and worthy of eternal life. So what about your baptism? What about the Lord's Supper? What about the word of the gospel that you hear this morning? Here is God joined to you, loving you, showing kindness to you, forgiving all of your sins, and seating you at his right hand. When you gather around God's word and sacraments, you are gathering around the exact same thing that the shepherds gathered around on that first Christmas. You are gathering around the very Son of God who sat on Mary's lap, learned and grew in wisdom under his earthly father Joseph, suffered for you, died for you, and now sits at God's right hand pleading for you. It isn't just a word about Christ. It is Christ himself revealed in his word. It isn't just a symbol of Christ washing your sin away sometime in the past, if you can tap into it yourself. No, it is Christ himself revealed in your baptism, clothing you with his own righteousness. It isn't just an outward sign of Christ's body and blood, something that you, again, are supposed to meditate upon and be obedient toward God's covenant. No, it is the very body and blood, the very pledge of the eternal Son of God, made flesh and crucified for you. It isn't just a reminder of how you can be more righteous before God. No, it is your very righteousness before him. Dear friends, this is worth pondering. As much as the shepherds give us an example of faith, Mary does as well. Faith does not just learn a few bits of knowledge about God. It doesn't just make your obligatory pilgrimage to church and then forget everything when you go home. That's because faith isn't a human act, which eventually grows bored and then moves on to something more interesting. No, faith runs in haste to the thing that was made known by God's word. And so with Mary, faith ponders with the heart this great mystery. And so, my only request for you this morning, today, is to ponder this mystery today. God is a man, man to deliver, and his son now is one with our blood forever. Ponder this great mystery, that God, who was eternally offended by the very sins that you feel and know in your own heart, revealed his eternal kindness to us by assuming our flesh and as his own in the person of his son. St. Paul says that we have become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. An heir is the son who inherits everything from his father. Jesus is the only begotten son of the father. He wasn't adopted by the father. Rather, from eternity, he has been in the father's side, coming forth in perfect divine love. And this means that everything from eternity, all majesty, all authority, all divinity and godliness belong to him. And because he has joined himself to our flesh and blood, he shares this inheritance with us. We are sons with Christ. This is what Christmas teaches. God is with us. This means that he isn't just close to man. He has become a man. The man born of the Virgin, baptized by John, and given into death for our sins, is the very Son of the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. This is certainly worth pondering. It is worth more thought than all human minds put together. It surpasses the understanding even of the angels, and it is ours by faith. So don't spend your time asking how you will bring God down from heaven. Don't rely on your own free will exercises to make God your Lord. Instead, right here in his word, listen, taste, and see the good will of God who has made himself your Lord. And because of this, have a very happy and merry Christmas. Let us pray. O Lord, you know the heart of man. You know our sin's corruption. Yet bearing out your gracious plan, you shared our soul's disruption. You claimed our nature as your own in your beloved only Son. And then you point us all to him, who by your own eternal whim assumed our nature weak and frail and rescued us from death's dark veil. So though my heart possesses faith, I know my inward sign is tainted with the sin of death by which my flesh is dying. Yet still you show us where we find your love to men so meek and kind. Lord, may we then this Christmas morn, as children by your Spirit born, find all we need in your own Son, who claimed our nature as his own. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.